The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:35pm with Gordon Brown, Chris Pimlott and Stephen Powell in the studio. It's Goodwood, Perth and Redcar on Wednesday afternoon, and the action continues into the evening with an all-weather fixture at Kempton. So four meetings to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Mr. Stephen Powell. How are you, Stephen?
Very good, Mark. Thank you. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. Pretty good weekend just gone. We've got a pretty good weekend coming up. So
yeah, a succession of good weekends at the moment. Yeah. So, and with each one that passes, we're closer to the jump season.
Yes, I was actually having a look through some of the jumps horses last night. I'm trying to coin together a 10 to follow. So yeah, it's wet the whistle a little bit.
Yeah, I did something similar last week as well, and yeah, I'm getting jittery now for the start of the jumps. But that's not to say we've got some great flat racing to come, to be fair, over the next 4 weeks with a succession of new markets for the next 4 weeks with the Cambridgeshire meeting this week, Sun Chariot the week after that, then the Cesaro Rich, then it's Future Champions Day, the next day is Champions Day, and then the Racing Post Trophy. And yeah, then it's good night, God bless for me to the flat racing. So
yeah,
the mantle is passed to Weatherby the following week for the Charlie Hall.
It is. That's when it all starts.
It is. Although I'm not going to be in the country, so hopefully there'll be somewhere in Las Vegas that's showing the racing from Weatherby.
I'm sure there will be. Too. Well, maybe not.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I can always hope.
Yeah. You could always tune into William Hill Radio and find out what's going on.
I could, yeah. But the charges would be extortionate with the data roaming in America. Yes. So I'm not sure it's that worth it.
Fair enough. Let's talk about a bit of news. Very big story. From the flat racing scene, was that Kingman was retired on Monday afternoon.
Yeah, a little bit underwhelmed, really, to be honest, by the whole thing. Obviously, they said it had a throat infection, which is going to be a race against time for the QE2. Turns out it was going to be a race against time for the Breeders' Cup as well. So rather than say, well, we'll put him away for next year, they've decided to retire him because, obviously, Judmont Farms don't have enough good stallions to sire 6-furlong and 1-mile horses in the shapes of Oasis Dream and Frankel. That's said with a hint of sarcasm.
Yeah.
Just disappointed, really, generally. But it's the same old with flat racing, isn't it? Every year it always happens. I mean, he's won 4 Group 1s this year, so he's obviously, we know that he's a very good horse. I don't think we still saw his full potential. And I don't think that we saw the true sort of range that he has, because obviously all of his races were run at a Dordle and he accelerated quickly and won with a blinding turn of foot. That was the sort of key characteristic, with one exception, which was run at a good gallop and he got beat in the Guineas. So I'd like to have seen him maybe try that again. John Gosden once or twice or more than that said that he thought he could win the July Cup or he's fast enough to win. Well, win the July Cup with him then. I mean, obviously it's not Mr. Gosden's choice there, so there's no blame apportioned to him at all. But yeah, disappointed that we won't see him again. Yeah. And obviously it sort of blows open Champions Day, but in terms of the QE2, because Aidan O'Brien on several occasions this year as well has said that Australia could drop back to a mile, and if Kingman's not going to line up in the QE2, it could be the perfect opportunity for him to do so and avoid the Grey Gatsby who beat him at Leopardstown, avoid Cirrus de Zegel, etc.
Yeah, interesting. Funny you should mention Cirrus de Zegel as well, because his trainer says that Cirrus de Zegel is back to his best form, back in top form, which if he turns up in his best form, he's going to come close there, isn't he?
He is, because obviously he's going to be his fourth appearance in the race. He's won it once and finished second twice, so you would think 10 furlongs on soft ground does suit him well at Ascot. He has obviously got to overcome a small midsummer injury, but his form before that was just as good as we'd seen from him previously. Obviously winning the Coronation Cup prior to that, he'd obviously beaten Trev in his first run of the, well, her first run of the season. And so anything where anything like that at all, and you, it wouldn't be beyond the realms of possibility by any means that he could win again. And obviously, as I say, if Australia swerves the champion to go for the QE2, it would make it even easier. And more likely,
yeah,
that he'll win again.
Yeah.
She's brought him back from bad races before and poor runs before, and he comes here off the back of a good run, but he was just not quite right afterwards. So I've got every confidence that she wouldn't be running him unless she thought that that he was ready to go.
Yeah, the betting for the Champion Stakes, by the way, looks like this: Free Eagle 5-2, Australia 11-4, Sarissa Ziegler is 7-2, 9-2 for the Grey Gatsby, and then 10-1 or bigger prices for the others.
To be honest, if Australia lines up from the horses you mentioned there, Free Eagle was so impressive at Leopardstown. He really did take the breath away. And I'd be inclined to sign with him. So you take Australia out, I think obviously he's more, even more likely to win.
Yeah.
I think he's special, Free Eagle.
I know
it's a bit obvious thing to say, but I think this time next year we'll be raving about him even more than we are now.
Yeah, he did.
That's
did
unless
impress.
He's retired to stud off.
Of course, yeah. let's look a little bit closer to home anyway. This weekend's action, just a quick look at the Cheveley Park, because High Celebrity is going to the race for Andre Farb. Tiggy Wiggy still looks the one to beat. 5-4 market leader at the time of recording. Anthem Alexander 7-2, High Celebrity 9-2, 7-1 for Lucida, 8-1 for Tendu, 10-1 or bigger prices for the others. Is there a bit of value there at 9-2?
I think so, yeah. I mean, obviously, Tiggy Wiggy was so impressive in her last two races, the Super Sprint and the Lowther. And the Lowther form, given the best possible boost by Cursory Glance winning the Moy Glare in Ireland. And she's the obvious one. And a repeat, I think, of her Lowther run will be difficult to beat. But High Celebrity, she was extremely well touted when she came over to Britain for the Cherry Hinton at the July meeting, having absolutely dotted up. I mean, so impressive on her maiden at Chantilly. The ground went against her a little bit in the Cherry Hinton. She's just got to be stuck in the mud. But she's a beautiful looking filly. I was at Newmarket the day she ran. Absolutely gorgeous. She is. She'd have a lot more scope and a lot more physical presence than Tiggy Wiggy. And Andre Farb, generally, as we've seen in the last couple of years, only runs his horses in the UK if he thinks they're going to win. And I'm wondering if Tiggy Wiggy can put up three outstanding performances in a row, because it's very hard to do that for racehorses unless they are top class. And although she's very good, this could be a difficult, well, the most difficult task she's had so far.
Yeah, we've got that to look forward to at the
great
weekend.
Great weekend, yeah.
Yeah, another good weekend coming up. Just quickly before I move on, because we must move on to Wednesday's action, we might see, well, it looks like we're going to see a new award. The world's best jockey. What do you make of that?
Well, it's hard, really, because obviously when you're winning the best races, you're riding the best horses, and some would argue that it is harder to get, you know, a horse who doesn't want to know and he's got every type of gear going, you know, a hood with blinkers and a noseband and tongue tie and he's had about five wind operations to win a seller. But, you know, for me, Ryan Moore's the best jockey riding in the world, regardless of the points that are racked up in the races that are qualifying for this new award, because he goes to any country, anywhere in the world. Japan, obviously, we mentioned Britain, America, Ireland, France, doesn't matter, and he wins on horses that obviously are good horses, but there's just something special about him, Ryan Moore. And for me, he'd win him, you know, he'd win it anyway. Even, well, he should win it, even if he doesn't, because he hasn't got the required amount of points.
Yeah, well, he's currently third in the standings behind Christophe Soumillon and Joseph O'Brien.
Yeah, well, there's no way Joseph is a better jockey than Ryan Moore.
No.
Christophe Soumillon could probably run him close at his very best, I think. There's a small select group of probably, you know, five or ten jockeys that are in a band, I think, that put them above the others. And I think probably Ryan and Christophe are both in that.
Okay. Well, we must move on. Let's get your thoughts on Wednesday's action. Stephen's picked out three races for us at Goodwood,
where Ryan Moore's in action.
Where Ryan Moore is in action, and we'll get his thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, Goodwood is where we will focus for Wednesday. The 3:15 is the first race that Stephen's picked out, and this is a Class 4 handicap for three-year-olds over a mile and three furlongs. And we've got some interesting runners in here. Space Lab is interesting after just the one start and the one success. You've got King Calypso, who arrives here chasing the hat-trick. Starlit Cantata, also in good form. And Ryan Moore in the saddle, Stephen. Mm. You could make a case for a few of these.
You could indeed, yeah. It's not a bad little race, actually, for six runners. You mentioned Space Lab as an interesting horse. Ran on very strongly on debut when winning at Lingfield. Was set off at 25-1, so obviously wasn't fancied to win that day. But she stayed on strongly to beat Rembrandt van Rijn in that contest 4 weeks ago. Only three horses have run out of that race at Lingfield, including Rembrandt van Rijn, and they've all been beaten since. So the form early on, not looking anything special. A handicapper, I think, has probably just gone middle of the road and put it on 80 because he doesn't want to go sort of 75 and look stupid, or 85 and the horse can't win. So interesting, and obviously open to further improvement. Going onto the turf for the first time and up a furlong should both not pose any problems for Space Lab. Starlit Cantata for Ryan Moore. Been pretty consistent all season. Only one bad run, to be fair, to the horse, which was three starts ago at Lingfield. Its best runs, though, have been on the all-weather, Starlit Cantata. And that's going to be a similar sort of thread through this race. She, just since winning at Lingfield in June, just been struggling to win off similar handicap marks. But because of the consistency, the handicapper keeps nudging her up a pound. And she's on 72 now, which is obviously above what she won off. And even with the assistance of Ryan Moore, I think she might just find one or two too good. King Calypso, you mentioned bidding for a hat-trick, has improved through classics handicaps, having started off a handicap mark of 45, winning on three occasions. Again, all three wins on the all-weather, and between its first and second win were two defeats on turf. And so coming back to turf into a better race concerns me a little bit for him as well. He's gone two grades up from a 6 to a 4. So he's running against vastly superior horses to what he has been previously. And again, he's been in good form and improving, but his wins are on the all-weather. So that sways me a little bit away from him. Serena Gray won over shorter trips earlier in the season, and then I think they've started to put it up in trip to try and eke out more improvement. I'm not sure whether that's been successful yet, really, to be honest. 2nd and 4 in a race at Bath last time. But the one who I find interesting is Golden Journey, actually, for Clive Cox and Ryan Tate. Won over 10 furlongs here in June at Goodwood. So obviously no problems with turf or the track itself. And hasn't disgraced himself in three runs since then, Golden Journey. Was 7 lengths off the winner at Kempton last time out over a mile and a half on Poly track. But I think the fourth before that was a good run. Coming back here to Goodwood, a furlong further than when he won here last time. Clive Cox's horses are still running relatively well. I wouldn't say they're flying, but they're not running terribly. And I just thought I'd chance it because of the concerns about the others, basically, that a return to Goodwood, maybe we'll see Golden Journey return to the winner's enclosure.
Okay, take a bit of a chance on Golden Journey there then. On to the next race, which is the 3:50 at Goodwood, and this is the Foundation Stakes, a listed race over a mile and a quarter for three-year-olds and older. And Grandeur won this race last year, returning to defend his crown. Highest rated of these on official ratings, sets the standard?
It very much sets the standard, and very much the one to beat. Obviously, won the Winter Derby trial earlier in the year, and also won the All-Weather Championship final on Good Friday. Since then has had three runs in America, 3rd and 4th in a Grade 1 races at Belmont before being touched off in a Grade 2 race there last time out, which he probably should have won, to be honest. And obviously conditions fine, and he's got the assistance of Ryan Moore, so he very much sets the standard, Grandeur. Although I don't think anyone should be lulled in by the Grade 1, Grade 2 form in America, because to be honest, I think any of these horses would probably run well in those races, because turf racing in America has the odd strong race, but generally I personally think it's maybe a notch below ours the majority of the time. And I think Grandeur, listed Grade 3 in Britain, is equivalent to Group 2, weak Grade 1 in America, etc. Dana was third in Turkey a couple of weeks ago, trying to win a race he won last year. Hasn't been in the same form this year as he was last, despite the Cumani Yard going well in recent weeks. I'm happy to overlook him. Marsh Daisy, I'll mention, won a listed race here for fillies earlier on in the year on a third start, was then well beaten in the Oaks and at Deauville, and all of her runs have been with cutting the ground. So I'm wondering if this will maybe just be on the quick side for her, basically. And the only one who I think can maybe rattle up Grandeur is Be My Girl. Won a hero over a mile earlier in the season in the listed race and a Group 3 at Deauville as well. Was beaten last time out at Deauville by Avenir Certain, who's obviously one of the favourites for the Arc, French Guineas and Oaks winner. The game was very soft at Deauville that day, and I mean it was very, very heavy indeed, and I think that's why she was beaten. She just couldn't handle it at all. Back onto a better surface at Goodwood, still maybe open to more improvement, and I think she might be able to shake up Grandeur.
Okay, and it's a race that Roger Charlton and James Doyle won back in 2012 with Primavera, so they know what they're doing.
They know what they're doing.
So do you take on the
favourite? Should hope so.
Yeah,
I'm going to take him on.
Okay,
he doesn't win often enough for me, Grandeur, to be overly confident.
Okay, Be My Gal then, the selection there. And the 4.25 at Goodwood is the final race we're going to look at. A Class 2 handicap over a mile and a half for three-year-olds and older. Some decent enough horses in here, Stephen, but I thought this was tricky.
Yes, it is tricky, Mark. Because Blue Surf, on his third at Epsom in June and his second over 2 miles here last time out, he would have a chance, but he's very inconsistent and rarely strings two good runs together. And because of that step up to 2 miles when he ran better last time, I'm concerned about the drop to a mile and a half. Noble Gift has ran two better races the last twice, but they were both dropped to a Class 4 races. Because he ran well, the handicap has put him back up, so now he can't run in those races anymore. Yeah. And he's gone back into a harder race, so I'm happy enough to leave him. Pack Leader won a maiden here earlier in the year. Two poor runs were followed by a better run at Epsom last time out, and there could be more improvement to come from him, and I'd prefer him over his stablemate Blue Surf. But the one I'm going to go with is number 6, Rainbow Rock. It was given an awful lot to do by Cam Hardy when he was second to Lynn Valley, his stablemate at the Glorious meeting here, but he made up a tremendous amount of ground and was so eye-catching that he was sent off co-favourite for arguably the most competitive three-year-old handicap of the season behind Battersea at Ascot last time, but again was given a lot to do, got messed about in the run, and basically once his chance was gone he wasn't overly hard on him. Again, drops in grade, Joe Fanning takes over from Cam Hardy, and Joe racked up his 100th winner of the season at Hamilton on Sunday, been riding better than ever this season, and he's still unexposed, Rainbow Rock, and the others, well, they're not.
Fair enough. So more to come maybe from
definitely, Rainbow definitely Rock. More to come.
Good. Let's just have a quick summary then, Stephen, if you'll spin us through your three one more time.
Yeah, the three then, in the 3.15 at Goodwood, we're going to go with number 3, Golden Journey, Take a Chance returning to this track. In the 3.50 at Goodwood, I think Be My Girl may be able to shake up Grandeur. And in the 4.25, Rainbow Rock is more unexposed. Well, he's unexposed and the rest aren't, so I think he could do winning there.
Okay, sterling stuff. Thank you very much, Stephen. Enjoy it on Wednesday.
Thank you, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Stephen Powell on Wednesday's racing. He'll be in the studio on Wednesday and he'll be joined by Gordon Brown and Chris Pimlott. They'll be live from 1:35 p.m. for the meetings at Goodwood, Perth and Redcar on Wednesday afternoon and Kempton in the evening. Plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.